Amen. Acts chapter 13. Now, I don't know about you, but I know, of course, some of you didn't know Bobby, but Bobby's favorite subject was the grace of God. That was his favorite subject. And so I thought today, and this is not going to be his funeral sermon, but I thought today to honor him, it would be good to preach on the grace of God. And in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is at Antioch. Now, the Apostle Paul has went from unbeliever, persecutor, to a preacher, prophet, and he's winning souls. He's preaching the word everywhere he goes. And so in Acts chapter 13, he's amongst a bunch of Jews that are living by works. They think the ceremonies, they think the traditions, they think the offerings and the trappings of religion, that all of that is going to save you. And there's some Baptists that way. A lot of church members that way. They think the baptism and the songs and the attendance and the keeping rules and things like that, that's going to get them to heaven. But the Apostle Paul preaches the grace of God. And that word grace means undeserved love. That's what it means. So before I get into the scripture, I want to tell you, there's nothing you can do that will make God love you any more or any less. God loves you. God loved you before the foundation of the world was ever laid. God knew who you was going to be, where you was going to be, what you're going to be doing. And God loves you. For God so loved the world, that's all of you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, God loves you. And that's the whole idea of grace before I get into it. Now, here's the Apostle Paul, the most religious man in the Bible, who has been converted to faith from all of those works. He's left the sacrifices. He's left the traditions. He's left the ceremonies. And now he's been born again by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he has the opportunity to tell other Jews, just like himself, how to do the same thing. And that's where we're at in Acts chapter 13. And I told you all that because I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You ought to read it yourself. Verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from," boy, you ought to underline this, "from all things," that's past, present, and future, "we're justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now there it is. There it is, plain as day. I'm going to expound on that. Verse 43, in case you're already a believer. Verse 43 says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Now that word grace, like I said, means undeserved love, undeserved favor. We can do nothing to deserve the grace of God. It's already there. It's already supplied. There's nothing can be added to it. There's nothing can be taken away from it. A lot of people say, "Well, I believe you can get saved if you believe on Jesus and get baptized." Well, you believe on Jesus, you'll get saved. You ought to get baptized, but you're adding to the grace of God when you try to add something to it. Some people say, "Well, I believe you can get saved if you believe on Jesus and join the church." Well, you ought to join the church, but you get saved because you believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. And they'll add all kinds. Some of them say, "Quit chewing tobacco." Well, you ought to quit chewing tobacco. Your wife would probably kiss you again if you did. But other than that, it's got nothing to do with the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. And he's not preaching to a bunch of heathens. He's not down at the jailhouse. He's preaching to people who believe in the one and only Most High God. They are performing the works that Moses has taught them to do in the Old Testament, but they have forgotten that every bit of those ceremonies, every ceremony, every sacrifice, every worship service was all made in order to point them to a coming Savior. That God never intended for those laws to tell them that they were saved. It intended to tell them, and the Apostle Paul said it later on, it's a teacher to us, and it's a schoolmaster. And it teaches us that we need a Savior. We can't even keep the first and the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord thy God with all the heart. We forget God. We think more about ourselves, more about other things, other people. And those of us who are saved and on our way to heaven are guilty of that. And that's why every day we have to ask, Lord, forgive us of our sins. You didn't go one day without breaking a commandment of some kind. Usually we didn't go past the first one. And Jesus said, if you thought it in your heart, you've already done it anyway. Amen? So he's preaching to a bunch of religious people. And they're seeking, listen to me now, they're seeking to be justified with God, made right with God, by their works. Now, don't get me wrong. James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Faith without works is dead, and that's true. But it's not works and faith, it's faith and works. Works does not produce faith. Faith produces works. Amen. Write that down somewhere. That's astounding. I didn't know I knew that. I knew it. Listen, so here's a bunch of religious people. They're performing ceremonies. They're making sacrifices. They dress right. They walk right. They talk right, and far as outward appearance, they're living right. And here comes the Apostle Paul. He's been born again. He used to be one of these people, and he's been born again, and he's telling them, he's saying, no, sir, it's not that. That's not what's going to save you. Let me tell you what's going to save you. And if you'll go back to almost first, about half, a little bit before half, you'll see where he preaches a whole sermon about the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's called the gospel. And that's what he preaches to these religious people. Good people, they pay their bills. Good people, they never would stab you in the back. Good people, they don't gossip or lie. They dress good. Good people, they show up at the temple. They show up down there at the synagogue. They have a part. They do their part. But they're counting on all of that to save them. See? I'm going to tell you right now, I think this is the best little church in town, the county, as far as I'm concerned. But I'll also tell you this, coming to this church won't make you a Christian. Jesus Christ, faith in Him is what makes you a Christian. Then when you get born again, you'll want to go to church. Amen. The preacher won't have to beat you up to go to church. I got some people, I had to go see them every other week to get them to come to church. And went to see some the other week, a couple weeks ago. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. The lady come to the door and pushed a guy out of the way that didn't know me and hugged my neck and said, "There's my pastor! There's my pastor! My pastor come to see me!" And went back there and got her husband. "The pastor's here! Come here! The pastor's here!" And boy, he just hugged my neck. And I looked at that couple in their room with them. You know, they had another couple in there. I said, "I wished all the 150 people that talk like this would come to church." I said, "I ain't seen these people in 2 years, and I'm still their pastor." Amen. I didn't know if they was alive or not. Amen. I couldn't even find them. Been hunting them. Amen. And hey, listen, that's the crowd he's got. The crowd that they have this idea that belonging to this religious organization, doing these religious ceremonies, will merit them eternal life. That they're going to go to heaven because they're good. But they forgot the Bible says there's none good. I remember I was preaching in the Chester County Jail one time. No, I was not enrolled. I was visiting. You know, a lot of these crooked preachers get locked up and they start a jail ministry after they get locked up. And boy, I was in there and I was preaching kind of like this. And I said, "Listen, I don't care how good you get. You can't go to heaven until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't care what you do, what you don't do, how you do it, when you do it. It's not going to give you eternal life." And I said, for instance, some people think smoking cigarettes send you to hell. I said, "Smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell. They just make you smell like you've already been there." And that one boy jumped up at the bars. He said, no, "I'll tell you, my grandma said if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to hell." I said, "Well, I'll tell you, your grandma's probably a good woman, but she was wrong." And I said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that seeketh after God. And we're all sinners, and smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell. I'm just telling you. But ain't nobody won't be around you when they smell it." Boy, he got some mad because his grandma told him the only way to go to heaven is quit smoking cigarettes. Now listen, that's works. Now, you ought not smoke. You ain't going to live as long if you do. You're going to be sick if you do. Believe me, we're some of the ex-ones, amen? I can tell you, we've been there. It still takes an hour every morning to clear my lungs still. But not smoking cigarettes or not doing something or doing something will not justify you and take you to heaven when you die. Look at this. Look at verse 38. This is what he told them. In verse 38, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached," look, "unto you the forgiveness of sin." This man. He emphasized this man. Did you know that Jesus Christ ought to be the center of every message we ever preach or teach or tell somebody? It'll always include this man. I had a wise Bible school teacher, and he said this. He said, "You pick any subject you want to out of the Bible, and you preach on it, and you teach on it, and you announce your text, and you read it, and you start off with your text, and then after a minute or two, you turn around and make a beeline to the cross, because you're going to have to get them to Him to get them saved." Amen. This man, this is one we're talking about, not Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, or any other one we could think of, but this man, Jesus Christ, he said in Him is forgiveness of sin. Now, I'm a Baptist, I wasn't born Baptist, I'm Baptist by conviction, I wasn't raised nothing. But when I got saved, I studied them all, and I said, "Well, that's what I want to be right there. I think it's closer to the book. That's all we use is the book," where they used to. A lot of them now use something else. But I'm that way. But let me tell you something. Being a Baptist is not going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
I really. By conviction. I've lost friends over it. I've lost family over it. But I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. That's what the world calls me. They gave me that name for what I believe. They say, "Oh, you one of them old Baptists. You can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't dance, you can't smoke a little reefer, you can't take no pills, can't go to parties, you don't go to dance halls. Y'all can't have no fun. You're one of them Baptists." I said, "No, that's the way Baptists ought to be. A lot of them ain't. But I am, thank God. But that don't get me to heaven. That don't put one brick in a mansion in heaven." Amen? He said, "This man." He preached unto them, "This man." There's a lot of things I hate. There's a lot of things God hates. But God don't hate anybody. Now, He's angry with the wicked, but He don't hate the wicked. He wants to save the wicked. And so our job is not to straighten people out, but get them to this man. Did you know I've had people quit drinking beer and liquor for me? Still lost, going to hell. But because Preacher Ron says they ought not do it, they quit doing it. Well, they're still going to hell. You see, it's not drinking that stuff, which you ought not do it. It'll shorten your life, it'll ruin you, and in the end, it'll ruin everybody you know. But that's not what gets you to heaven. It's this man. It's this man. Look, real quick, I got to hurry. In this man, look at verse 23. There's forgiveness of sin. Of this man, seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Look at verse 27. In this man, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew Him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemnation, and though they found no cause of death in Him, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain. Now, listen, look at the next verse, 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of who? Of Him. They took who? Him down from the tree and laid Him in a sepulcher. And in verse 30 he said, and God has raised Him from the dead. It's all about Him. The whole thing's about Him. From front to back of the Bible, it's all about Jesus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. The whole book's about Jesus. You go back there in the Old Testament and those sacrifices there, every time they sacrificed a lamb or an ox or a bull or a goat or a turtle dove or offered up a handful of flour because they were too poor to have that kind of stuff, every bit of it was pointing to Him. Every time they sang over in that temple, hallelujah, praise God, all those songs, every one of them, they didn't know it, but it was about Him, Brother Bud. And then He comes on the scene. About this time of year we celebrate that. He's born, and listen, all the angels in heaven sing about Him. It's all about Him. And then the wise men, they come looking for who? Him. They're looking for Him. And then the angel goes to his parents and says, get him down to Egypt and get him out of here, because they're going to kill him, see? Because King Herod knew that the Savior was coming, and when the wise men told him he'd done been born, King Herod knew it was him that was supposed to sit on the throne. You see, everything's about him. And then, listen, in his preaching, he never did preach about Confucius or Muhammad or any kind of junk like that. He preached about the Old Testament prophecies. He worked, every work he did was about the Old Testament prophecies, and every bit of it pointed to him. Listen to this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. It's all about Him. Hey, look, what we need to do is get back to Him. Not the H-Y-M-N, but the H-I-M. We need, boy, I ain't calling no names because we're on the internet. People going, no, I can't on this one. I was down at Becky's. And by the way, thanks for praying for Becky. She's a great faith, great woman. And but anyway, there's some kin folks there, and one of them goes to the big uptown church, you know, big uptown. It's uptown. You know what I'm talking about. Where if it rained, they'd all drown. And he said, well, my pastor did a survey. And he just said, why don't we just find out what everybody wants at church and let's just do it. He said, you know what we found out? People don't want to go to church on Wednesday night, so we quit. It's about like that around here, but I ain't quitting. People don't want to go to church on Sunday night, so we'll just quit that. And then on Sunday morning, you know, you got some of them old-fashioned people. You know, you got some of them old-fashioned. They won't sing those hymns. We'll sing a few hymns. But then we got some that like rock, so we'll just sing some rock. And then we got some that like country, so we'll just sing about country. And then we got some that like contemporary, so we'll just come by Yama. And so we'll sing. And then some like the praise dancers, so we'll just let the praise dancers loose. And he said, you know what? Our attendance went sky high on Sunday morning. And I thought to myself, well, I guess so. You just gave them a buffet. Yeah. You better stay out of my preaching. I'm about to get to that. Woman up here getting ahead of me. And I stood there and I thought this. I've been studying my sermon and I thought, you know, I've heard everything about everything except I hadn't heard nothing about Him. And I wanted to go over and grab him and say, you big dummy, it's about Him. It ain't about them. It's not about their songs and their likes and their habits and their hobbies. It's about Him. Jesus lived a sinless life, died in our place, rose from the dead the third day, sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. The Apostle Paul said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them, but it's the power of God unto us who are saved by faith in Him. About Him. I don't care. Hey, do you think all them old pioneer churches had a hallelujah chorus and a praise band and they had a hippie band and they had a no! They'd go in there and sing an old hymn without a piano. They'd lift up a hymn and look, you didn't have to entice them or beg them. They wanted to hear from Him. And they think, let's get this stuff out of the way so we can hear from Him. I come to worship Him, and He's the one I'm looking for. Not them, Him. I thought to myself, and y'all forgive me if I say this wrong, but I thought to myself, if you'd get all that junk out of the way and get back to the Bible, He's used a jackass before to preach to a man. He could do it again. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I wouldn't say that. That's why you ain't the preacher. Listen, It's about him. Boy, he's the one that showed up at Maggie's house about 11:30 Thursday night when her husband fell out on the floor and she's trying to revive him, and she said, "I felt him. Look, I felt him." He's the one that comforted her. He's the one that gave her courage. When my daughter showed up from Jordan, come in there, you know Suzanne, she's in control of everything. And she come in there and she's cleaning and fixing, and me and my wife's in there cleaning and fixing and doing all kind of stuff. And we was, look, we were just trying to get her mind off of the dying and onto the living, him. He's the one when you go to the funeral home tonight and you look at that body in that casket. Bobby never would have wanted you to make it about him. He'd want you to make it about him. He's the one when you go down to the cemetery and you lower that loved one down in the old cold dark hole. God doesn't want you to be comfortless. He said, listen, by these words, comfort one another. And what's the words about? They're about him. It's all about him. Him, him. He's in the middle of all of it. A to Z through the Bible. You go look, you'll find him all through the book. And boy, I got to hurry. I ain't even got, that's just my introduction. But since you're not coming back to church tonight, I need to remind you about him. Amen. Listen. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You see that? Through this man. Now, that's the miracle message right there. That's the message of hope. That's the message of peace. That's the message of love. That's the message of joy. That's the message of riches untold. It's all in him. You want prosperity? Get to him. You can be poor as a Cornerstone Baptist Church mouse, and we got some. You can be poor as a Cornerstone Baptist Church mouse and have a mansion in heaven. Amen. If you look to him, Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That was joy to him. He endured the cross and he despised the shame hanging there naked for you. Him, he did that. And look, he despised the shame. But now, he is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Look, folks, it's Jesus. Look, I hope you come to this church and I hope your life gets straightened out if it's in a mess and you get happy and you get prosperous and all that stuff. But I need to remind you of something. Are you listening? It ain't about you. It's about him. I'm tired of everybody thinking it's about them when it's about him. And our churches has changed it to them from him. He said, "I don't like that kind of preaching." Well, then you call me one of them, I'll call you one of them others. Amen. I told them in Sunday school, I go see people, talk to people, preach places, and they said, "What kind of preacher are you?" I said, "I'm a fundamental Baptist preacher." And they said, "Oh, you one of them." I said, "Yeah, it ain't many of us left, but just mark that down. When you think about me, I'm one of them." You think about that. Because when I look at you, and I don't usually say this, but sometimes I think it. When I look at you, I'm thinking about them others. Amen? There ain't but two kind of people in the world, lost and saved. And if you don't love him, you ain't saved. If it ain't about him, you got religion. Hey, you may have religion. You might do ceremonies. You might have a little altar at your house. I've been in lost people's houses that had altars in their house. And they would kneel and they had a Bible, you know, and they'd have a kneeling bench and they'd kneel. And every day they'd pray, you know. But you know what? It wasn't about him. It was about them. They were looking for something. They wanted something. Real quick, look at verse 39. Look at verse 39 with me real quick. And by him, all that believe are justified from what? Look at it. From what? All things. Now, listen to me. That is the miracle method of being forgiven of all things. You say, "Well, preacher, I've done this, I've done that, and I wouldn't even tell you what I've done. I've been so bad." and I'd like to be forgiven. Well, I'll tell you how to get, hey, here's how you get forgiveness. No matter what you think it is or how bad you think it is, here's how it is. Through Him is the forgiveness of sin. And by the way, don't confess to me. I ain't your father. There's a woman up there at Independent Bible Baptist Church, and she'd pick at me all the time. She called me Father Ron. You know who it is, Winecoff. She needs a Father Ron. And she called me Father Ron. I said, don't call me that. I ain't your daddy. There ain't but one. He's in heaven. Don't come telling me, look, I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, blessed by the grace of God, going to heaven by the grace of God. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy He saved me. We're on the same level here, folks.
Amen. Glory to God.
The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not me. He.
Amen.
I don't want to know what you did.
Amen.
I'm serious. I told a fellow one day, he'd been in penitentiary, was out of jail. You know, he said, people wouldn't want me to come to your church. I said, why? He said, I've been in penitentiary. I said, so what? There's probably about 15 people in my church been in penitentiary. And if they hadn't, they ought to have been. And I said, but I don't know who they are and don't want to know. And I said, by the way, you don't know who you're going to sit with if you come down there. You might sit beside somebody worse than you and don't even know it. Ain't that a scary thought? Worse than you. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, but I know what He did. So you wouldn't have to die and go to a devil's hell. He died in your place to wash away your sins. And I can't do that. And the church can't do that. And the ceremonies and the sacrifices can't do that. And all the good works in the world can't do that. Only Him. It's all in Him. And it's all Him or it's not Him at all. You know, He's a jealous God. He doesn't share it. Do you speak this fellow came to my church? And he stayed out a couple of weeks. I said, where you been? He said, I've been going down to Mormon church. I said, why would you do anything like that? He said, well, I just wanted to see what they believe. I said, if you'd asked me, I could have saved you a lot of trouble. He said, well, I wanted to dwell amongst them. There might be some believers in there. I said, there ain't no believers in there. They're not looking to Him. They're looking to another Jesus. And they'll even tell you that. They're looking at another Jesus. And they're not looking at the Bible. They're looking at the teachings of a man plus the Bible. And I said, what'd you hear down there? He said, well, they talked about being good people and doing good things. I said, that's right. That's religion. I said, did they talk about Him? He said, no, right there at the end, they said a prayer in His name. I said, He wasn't even there. Religion ain't going to save you. I'm glad an old redneck like you ain't got no religion. We didn't have none to start with, did we? Old country preacher said one time, I'm glad Jesus got me before religion did.
Amen.
And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Religion's hard to get rid of. Some of y'all been in the Catholic Church. That's the worst religion in the world, man. They'll work you to death and take your money, everything else, and you still ain't sure you're going to heaven because that guy ain't put enough blessings on you, you know. But and then he'll invite you into a little booth, and he'll say, what have you done, son? And you got to confess your sins to this man, not that man. And then he'll say, well, say 25 Hail Marys and put $100 in the building fund, and I'll pray for you. And you're never sure if you got enough or not. Amen? That's religion. I'm going to shock you. At my house, we got no pictures of Jesus. You don't know what He looked like. God didn't want us to know what He looked like. Because people that think they know what He looked like made pictures of Him and they worshiped the stinking picture. I don't have a bunch of big old crosses on my wall. And it's not that I'm against the cross. It's preaching the cross that saved me. But I'm not going to fall and worship that piece of wood. I'm going to worship the one that died on that cross.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
recently in Jerusalem, itself, the archaeologists have dug up inside that church what they call the Church of the Sepulchre. And they claim that that's where Jesus was buried at. And they closed it off about 50, 60 years ago, wouldn't let nobody else go in and look at it. And it's kind of like a dungeon, a basement, really. And they've opened it up now to work on it. And people have flocked there by the millions to get a glimpse of where they think Jesus was buried, because they think that's going to get them some kind of favor with God. Number one, it ain't a real place. The real place is the hill of the skull over there, right outside Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that. So it ain't the right place. But the other thing is this. It's not the preaching of the tomb that saves us. It's the resurrection of the Savior that saves us. An empty hole ain't going to do you no good. And by the way, when you get over at a Catholic church, they're going to charge you $10 to see it. Then they're going to charge you $2 for each candle that you go in there to pray for somebody. You got to pay for those candles. And then some priest got to blow smoke on you when you go in. Well, that's a lot of trouble just to get to the risen Savior, ain't it? When my Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You go to some of these places, churches, religious organizations, you say, well, I want to go to heaven. They'll say, well, you got to go to class to do that. And we're going to teach you how to do that. Well, why don't you just take the opportunity and preach the cross and death, burial, and resurrection right then? Because they don't know it. I was knocking on doors one night at the old Red Coach Inn. Y'all remember Red Coach Inn? We called it the Red Roach Inn. They said when they tore that thing down, there were millions of cockroaches running. I'd hate to live around that place. I bet they filled up everybody's house around there. Drug addicts, prostitutes, drunks, you know. And so I had about five men. We were over there knocking on doors, inviting people and using the opportunity to witness. Well, I knocked on this one door, and this little meek fella came to the door and introduced myself. He said, well, this sure is nice of you to come out here like this and talk to these people. He didn't say us people. He wasn't one of them. He just happened to be living there, I guess. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but I have an a different motive. I hadn't slept in 3 days, y'all. It's getting hard. I said, I have another motive. He said, what's that? I said, well, you know, it's good to go to church, ain't it? He said, yeah. I said, it's good to live a good, clean life, ain't it? He said, yeah, it is. I said, but you know, there's something that's better than that. He said, what's that? I said, knowing if you died, you'd go to heaven. Amen. He said, huh? I thought that's how you knew. I said, no, that's supposed to be the results of knowledge. That's not knowledge. That's the results of knowledge. I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, I didn't tell you. He said, I almost became a Catholic priest. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, but I had to drop out. I only got one more year to go, and I'll be a Catholic priest. And y'all know me. I'm real tactful. So I said, that's wonderful. But let me ask you a question. Out of all those years of that schooling and teaching about the Catholic Church, could you tell me how to know if I died right now I'd go to heaven? Simple question, ain't it? No, it ain't. Oh, we don't have time to tell you all that standing here at the door. I said, you don't? He said, no. I didn't tell him I was pastor. He said, you don't? I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, that's a long, drawn-out process. He said, and you got to go to classes, and you got to go through confirmation, you got to study the catechism, you got to study the church history, and then there at the end, they'll give you a graduation. I said, so if you go through every bit of this that you're talking about, you'll know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, no. Nobody can know that. I said, well, now wait a minute. I said, I'm not the smartest man. I didn't tell him I was pastor. I said, I'm not the smartest man, but I think the Bible says over in Romans 10 somewhere, Romans 3, Romans, I said, doesn't it say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Oh, yeah, it says that. I said, doesn't it say the wages of sin is death? That means dying, going to hell. He said, yeah, purgatory. I didn't argue with him on purgatory. Let the ignorant be ignorant still. And I said, doesn't it say over there in the Bible, though, that Jesus died for our sins? Doesn't it say that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins? Doesn't it say, I think it's in verse 13 there, doesn't it say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I said, doesn't it say over in Acts chapter 16, 31, I went to every verse I could think of. Here's a guy that thought he was going to be a priest, dying, going to hell. He had enough religion to, you know, if you could get saved by religion, he'd been saved. And so I just went through verse. I said, didn't Acts 16, 31 say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? He didn't know. He didn't know any of those verses. You know why? His was about religion, not him. And then I told him, I said, you know, March 5th, 1978, I didn't know a Bible verse. I didn't know one hymn in the book. I didn't know nothing about God. I didn't know nothing about a church. I just knew if I died, I was going to go straight to hell. And if anybody ought to go, I ought to go. I said, I didn't know a Bible verse for that, but I knew this, that if God was true and He was holy and He was pure and He was just, I was not. And God had to have a place for those kind of people, and that's hell. And I knew I'd go to hell, but I didn't want to go. And I ran down that aisle, and they took a Bible and showed me as simple as ABC, admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, call on Him, and He'll save you. And I said, you know what? That makes it all about Him. I said, I don't like candles. I don't chant chants. I got no pictures, statues, or emblems. My Christianity is all about Him. And he said, in Him, all the Godhead rest. I've got Him. Now, I don't know what y'all got. I don't know your heart. The only heart in here I know is mine. But I have a personal relationship with Him. He walks with me. He talks with me. I feel His power, His presence. I feel His joy, His love, His peace, His comfort. I've experienced the grace of God, undeserved favor. I don't deserve it any more than anybody else. But that day, He gave it to me. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, not the church, not baptism, not candles, not ceremonies, not sacrifices, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. That word means the right. The authority. You ever heard anybody look at you and say, who gave you the right to do that? Well, that's what that means. That He has the right and the authority to call me a son of God. Because I have, through His name, the right and authority to call Him my Savior. That's my right, through Him. Well, preacher, I don't know about you. No, you don't. But I know about Him. Well, you know, preacher, I've done this. I don't care what you did. What have you done with Him? Amen. Y'all won't believe it, but people join my church and I'll get a call from a pastor and say, I don't know, Brother Ron, you might not want to take them people in. They're troublemakers. I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. If they're saved, God will fix them. If they ain't, He won't, and they'll get mad at me and leave. Amen. Because it's all about Him. It's Him. Now I'm going to the cemetery Monday morning. And I'm going to the funeral home Monday morning. And I'm going to preach about Him. And if I ever preach your funeral, I'm going to preach about Him. Because I don't care how good you are. That's not going to save anybody. They don't need your history and your life story. They need His. And by the way, when I die and they get preachers up here, if they don't talk about Him, you call me. I'll come back. It's him. It's him, and it's all him, or it's not him at all. Do you know him? Have you received him? Or do you have religion? Luck. Destiny. Karma. Or do you have him? Come on, brother. We're going to sing. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the grace of God, all in Jesus Christ.